Hi, David.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good. That's good.
What's going
Thanks.
on?
I actually just came from spending the morning writing with my brother and hanging out with my nephew, which was awesome
Oh, that
because
sounds nice.
my nephew hugs now and he can say my name.
Wow, it's quite a bargain.
It is. I don't think he knows what it means, but he can say it.
Because does he say it only when he's hugging you? Is it
No,
like
he
a
says it.
connected?
No, he says it when Phil says, "Say Abby."
Oh, okay.
He says it.
That's good.
So yeah, we're getting there. How's your morning been?
I'm all right. I was just working on something for a YouTube channel. So we'll see how that turns out.
Oh, nice. That's good.
I did not go see Cars 3 because I heard it's not that good. I
Oh.
hope Cars 3 is not a sponsor of Spare Men.
As far as I know, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's all right then. So it sounds like it's
Yeah.
been a productive morning.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for taking the time to call and talk to me about your dad.
Yes, I'm happy to do it. Although Father's Day is a weird holiday. And is it even a holiday? I don't know. If you're not recognizing it, I guess it's just
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah.
But yeah. I heard
I
something
guess so.
on the radio though that connects to this conversation. There was a DJ on the radio yesterday that was signing off, and she said, make sure to give your dad a hug and kiss this Father's Day, especially if he's still around.
But
And
well,
I thought the phrasing of that is really uncomfortable. The implication being that, he might be buried somewhere, but you still got to go give him a hug.
yeah, I feel like you can probably leave him alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. All right.
So
Well.
yeah, it's weird little moments like that that kind of remind you of what is missing.
Yeah. Well, and that's also, I mean, of course, why I was interested in talking to you because I know that Father's Day isn't the same. It's not the same thing for everyone, and I know depending too on probably how much time has passed, it's also different levels of difficult or just not.
Yeah, I think now I don't sit and dwell on it. I think that enough time has passed that it has a different sort of feeling. Facebook makes it a little strange because, and I'm sure the same is true for people that lose mothers when Mother's Day comes around, but you see a lot of photos and memories, and there's also a sort of a intrinsic sense of like, I should share something. I should like sh you know. First of all, my dad didn't like having his picture taken that much, so there weren't a ton of photos of us. And then he passed away right after I graduated college, so I was lucky to have him through like all of those formative times. But it's not exactly a recent photo of us. So there's a, you know, so you see a lot of stuff unfold on. I think Facebook makes it kind of interesting. For birthdays and Father's Day and Mother's Day, things like that, to it's like a shared communal experience of let's talk about our dads today.
Yeah.
So
Do you and do you usually post something or say something, or do you
I have in the
not?
past more often than not. I think now I don't as much, in part because when I do post things, I'm not monosyllabic. So it's usually like a long like chapter.
Yeah.
So that takes a lot out of me. But
Yeah. Yeah.
no, I mean, yeah, I'll usually post something. I have a picture that I think you've seen it of me with my dad when I was really little and we were
Fishing.
fishing.
Yeah.
And I really like that picture, so sometimes I'll post that. I think my mom has my mom's got more has a more difficult time with these markers, these holidays. I think in part because like at the time that when my dad passed away, I was living in LA, and I was coming back, just for context, I know you know this already. My dad had brain cancer, and so I was coming back a lot for surgeries and things like that. And my mom was kind of sitting in the middle of it because obviously they lived in the same house, whereas I had sort of parallel lives going on. And even though my dad and I were really close, there is some comfort in knowing that you have, like, you're kind of building a life of your own, and that he would be happy with it, and so that makes it a little bit easier. But my mom is surrounded by, like, his old clothes, by his armchair, you know, all that stuff. So I think she left his tennis shoes in the doorway for a long time. I don't know whether it was intentional, but it was like, you know, he was going to be home from work at any point. So yeah, I think it's harder when you're sitting in the middle of it. At the time that my dad was really sick, my sister was living at home, and I remember feeling kind of jealous that she was getting to be around him so much, and I was in LA. I actually considered moving back to Nebraska. I was in my first year of graduate school and was kind of at a transitional point in my life, and I remember talking with him about coming back because I wanted to be with him for all that stuff. And when he was still able to speak, this was when he was able to talk, he said he didn't want me to come back just to watch him die. And I thought, wow, that's so morbid, because I think there's a part of you that thinks, oh, we're going to get through this somehow, even though it's stage 4 brain cancer. He was a really tough guy, and he was much more of a realist about it than I think the rest of us were. So I think he kind of knew. And ultimately, his advice was the right advice, because I think if I had moved back, I probably wouldn't have left again. I probably would have stayed in Nebraska. I probably would have been, like, sort of swept up in that and never regrouped. So he was right.
When it's always fun to me to listen to you talk about your dad, because it feels like in every story there's some kind of really kick-ass wisdom. Like, I don't think you've even like really basic, oh, here's a fun thing I did with my dad once kind of stories. It always feels like there's some morsel in it that you learned or that you took with you, or it's something that I see in you that I'm like, oh, I feel like I just heard a story about David. Where do you see his lasting influence in your life the most, or even the influence of people around him? I know that's a vague and open question, so go where you want to with that.
Well, I think we have similar dispositions. And I think that became clearer as I got older. I think my dad was really good at sort of seeing what was important in something and sort of being able to eliminate the rest. And I find that that's been useful, especially having grown up with a disability. It's kind of like you don't have a lot of energy for, can I swear on Spearman? I don't
Yeah,
know.
totally.
Yeah, you don't have any, a lot of energy for bullshit. So I think we had that in common. And we spent a lot of time together. He got me involved in archery as a kid, and I did that for several years. And we would go to archery lessons and on Saturdays, and then find a new place to eat. We would try to go to a new restaurant every time. I have a lot of good memories of that. And he was also big on traveling throughout the United States. We did a lot of summer trips as a family. And I think at this point in my life now, I realize that he made a lot of selfless decisions. He and my mom together made a lot of selfless decisions that when I was a kid, I didn't have the context to understand what those decisions might be like, because my parents were both actors in New York, and they left New York and basically left acting for decades in order to adopt me. And I don't think I realized at the time that I was a kid what a big decision that is to sort of uproot your life and move back to where my mom grew up in order to take care of this baby. So I have a lot of respect for that. And I know that my dad was working a job that he did not because he enjoyed it or was challenged by it, but because he needed to provide for us. He was working in credit card manufacturing, which is, and he has an MFA. So I don't know how those two things link up, but you know, that's a very mature decision to make. It's one that I don't, I would have a hard time coming to that decision. So a lot of those little things kind of add up. He was set sort of a quiet person, except in certain environments. But he was just very focused and directed and empathetic, and not in a showy way that anybody would recognize unless they knew him. So I like all that.
I remember you telling me once a st it was one of those stories that ended in "Don't tell your mother about this." So
Oh yeah, I don't think my mom's on spearmint, so it's okay. No, it was because he had. Well, there were. I think what you're thinking of is like he. I think the first R-rated film I got to see as a kid was Silence of the Lambs, and that's a pretty big jump when you're little. And that specifically, that was like, we're gonna watch this tonight because it's a great movie and you should see it, but you can't tell your mom. And to my credit, I don't think I did. I mean, she knows I've seen it. She knows I've seen it, but yeah, it was kind of just a thing that we did. But I remember thinking like, oh wow, I get to do something totally adult and kind of sneaky, which was not my nature as a kid to like break rules. So it's kind of fun.
It's like it's a special thing when you can kind of share that secret with a parent, and when you see a parent kind of let, you know, step out
Yeah.
of the boundaries
I
every now
remember
and
that
then.
there was also a time, I think we went out to dinner somewhere, and he actually, now that you mention it, there were a couple times something like that happened
I think the
where
one I'm actually thinking of is the one you're about to tell.
oh, the dinner thing? Yeah, we went to dinner with some friends of mine from college. I think it was my freshman year of college. It was a big group, and someone else's father was there. And my dad got the sense from this person that he was being very showy about his money and his success. He was a well-paid guy and was kind of self-congratulatory about it. So my dad went to go use the restroom. I think I'm remembering this right. He went to go use the restroom, and on the way to the restroom, he stopped the waiter to tell the waiter to give him the bill, to give my dad the bill for the whole table, so that this so that this other guy, not in like some sort of, you know, rude way, but he just sort of like wanted it to be known that, you know, he wasn't all that, I suppose. And so my dad picked up the bill for the whole table. And after, because I was kind of annoyed by this guy during the dinner too. And afterwards, I remember in the car on the way back, I was like, I can't believe you did that. That was so awesome. And you didn't even say anything about it. And he was like, yeah, don't say anything about it to your mom, because that was more than I'd intended to spend. So, yeah.
It's cool though, because it's like another one of those things that feels very it feels you-ish. It feel like this, it's like I'm gonna quietly, gently not let this person like make
Well,
it,
yeah, I don't know whether I got it that necessarily from my dad or maybe a combination of influences, but I don't think there's much value in like doing something. I guess I'm suspicious of people that do stuff for their own benefit so that other people know how great they are. So yeah. I don't know. But no, I'm not dropping money on everybody's dinners all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do remember that as a significant moment of like quiet coolness, I suppose. I don't know how to describe it. It just seemed like a cool thing to do. And he could have handled it in a number of different ways. He could have let the other person know, like, this is why I did this or what. He just kind of did it and didn't make a thing about it. And that's kind of how he operated usually.
Do you ever catch yourself saying or doing little things like little habits where all of a sudden it's, whoa, there's Cliff?
Not, and I, my mom sees me do stuff and comments on it. Like I take, this is a w really obscure one, but like when, if someone gives me a drink with a straw in it, I usually take the straw out and drink from the glass. And that was something that he always did. And I didn't realize that I had, that was even a thing until my mom pointed it out. 'Cause she had like one of those weird little flashbacks. Just little things like that.
Why do you do that?
I
Just
don't
to
know.
get a more
I
satisfying
guess I'm
goal?
not really a straw person.
It's
I don't
fair.
know. But then somebody told me like last year that that's, if you drink from the glass, that's where a lot of the germs are on
Yeah,
the
but
lip
who
of the
cares?
glass. So
And
now I don't
beauty.
know. Maybe my dad led me astray on that one. Yeah, I mean my dad, when I finished high school, he wrote a letter to me about preparing for college and some things that he had learned from his own college experience. And I didn't know at the time of that being written that my dad would be gone in, 5 years. So that letter has like additional significance. And I just spent the last 3 years, most Saturdays, mentoring a high school student who is now going off to college, going to Yale. I think I can mention that because I feel good about it. And I was like, oh, I should write him like a really awesome letter with a bunch of advice. And then I wrote him this letter, and I don't know if it had a lot of great advice in it. I think I underperformed my own expectations. But because this guy's going to Yale, so it's like you're already set. You don't need all this support.
Yeah, but he's
But
still 18 or 19 or however old he is.
yeah, but he's ridiculously ahead of all that. All of his friends are like 3 or 4 years older, so I figure they're gonna, and his brother's there, and I figure, I said, here are some things I can tell you that I've noticed about yourself, but other than that, I don't really, I wish I had, I told him in the letter, I wish I had all the wisdom that my dad had when I was going off to college. To be fair to myself, though, my dad was older when I was going to college than I am with Carlos going to college. So I got plenty of time to acquire some wisdom finally. So yeah,
Well,
but
that's
it's kind of a fun experience to sort of be at that same position. Not that this is my child in any way, but to be sort of reflecting on my own college experience as somebody else goes off to college.
Well, it's actually interesting that you bring it up because I was going to ask you about I've been like I talked to my brother and I talked to my dad and with both of them I asked, now that you're a dad, what have you like incorporated and passed along from your father that you learned? And then I feel like the question still applies when you are in a position of having influence over young people. And I know that you've mentored before and you've been a teacher and all those sorts of things. So
I
I
mean,
just
I guess the one thing is I try to remember that, like, especially in Carlos's case, because Carlos has so many good influences in his life, remember that like his successes are not about me in any way. And that's something I think that my dad may have embodied. I think he was always really proud of me, but I don't think he ever, I think he always acknowledged how hard I was working. And in fact, he was usually telling me not to work so hard. Like not to worry about homework so much or about my GPA, and would say that, he didn't remember what his GPA was from college, and nobody ever asked him in a job interview. And at the time, I didn't recognize how true that was. I was very academically focused and kind of competitive. And then when you get to the other side of school, you end up try to go to a good college, and you get out of college, and nobody ever wants to know about your grades again. Like, nobody cares. So, which is kind of a bummer because my grades are pretty good, but
We gotta work so hard.
it's like, don't you want to ask? But so, yeah,
What
I
was your
mean,
GPA?
3.8 at the
Nice.
time. Yeah, that was before, I think that was before all the, like, now Carlos has got like a 4.4. I didn't even know you
Yeah,
could
with
do
all the
that.
weighted classes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and also in his case, he applied to like a dozen colleges, got into most of them. I applied to two schools because I didn't want to do all the hassle of applying. And in hindsight, I realized how stupid that was. Because if I hadn't have gotten into those schools, I don't know. I don't even want to think about it.
I have like those. I have some weird. I mean, I'm really happy with the college I went to and the way that everything turned out. But I have regrets about that application, and I get a little jealous every year with mentoring with Wright girls and like hearing about all the girls and how they're applying to all these different schools. Because I didn't do that. I felt like, with all the with the application fees, I felt like the practical thing is to like apply to a school that I know I like and I'll probably get into, and then just go there and leave it at that. But now
Yeah,
I'm
I mean,
curious.
my decisions were based on, I did a program at USC in high school and I loved it. And I hadn't really considered Los Angeles at all prior to that. And then after that summer program, I was like, oh, I guess that's where I'm going to school. So I applied to USC and LMU, and I think that was it. I don't think I applied to any other schools. And then I ended up going to USC. And then, but there's always a part, in, especially when I work with Carlos and we look at Ivy League schools, there is a part of me that thinks, like, where my ego kicks in, and it's like, I wonder if I could have been an Ivy League student, but who cares? Yeah, my dad was, I think at one point was offered to apply for a PhD position or PhD track in theater at some school in the South, and my mom always thought he should have done it, and I think he would have been a really good teacher. He got very passionate about the things that he was, that he cared about. And he never did that. So that is one of those things, like, and he was a very big reader later in his life. It's weird to say later in his life, because later in his life means like from 40 to 55 or 54. But and I remember he said that he didn't read much in school and he didn't particularly like school. And then he went into the military and it really sort of forced discipline on him. And so he tried to like retroactively learn all the things he was supposed to have learned in school. So yeah, but he never ended up going to the professorial track. But he was always very interested in education. And when I was in college, I think my first couple years of college, he would look at the list of books, required books for my courses, and buy a bunch of them for himself so he could try to follow along with what I was learning, which I thought was neat.
Oh, that's really cool.
I'm not doing that with Carlos,
That would
but
be a lot extra to take on.
yeah, but it's a nice thought.
Just a couple more questions, and this is geared towards I kind of for listeners now who are kind of in the position of going through Father's Day without a father. When you talk about, 'cause I feel like social media is such a thing. And Phil and I were actually having a conversation on a different topic, but still related to social media, of how sometimes people can like well-meaning respond in an over-dramatic way to like posts that are just trying to be honest about life stuff, where you're like, I'm okay, but the responses you get kind of reflect this, please. Don't kill yourself, or like
Right,
something
yeah.
more intense. Is there, do you have any thoughts on the way people respond to people posting about fathers that they've lost on Father's Day?
Well, I think that's true. I think social media invites people to be kind of maudlin, and so people sort of pile onto that, and everybody feels bad. So I always try to end, I think maybe instinctively, I try to end a lot of my posts with a joke.
Yeah. Do people pick
So,
up on
and
it?
not just about my family or anything, but like about anything. Like if I'm posting something about, some weird experience I had related to my disability, I usually end with a joke.
Yeah.
So that helps.
And
Yeah.
do you have any words of encouragement or any advice for people that this is new for this Father's Day?
I think there's a lot of value in letting your thoughts be known through social media or friends and family. I think there's an instinct to like sort of hide away for a while. I know after my very soon after my dad passed away, I didn't really want to be around anybody, and I was like kind of avoidant of the whole thing. And then I realized that that's actually really counterproductive, because I think sometimes I forget that people want to be helpful, and inquisitive, and so I find a lot of comfort in talking about my dad. And so I guess I would encourage that. The first year is really tough, because the first year there is a really unavoidable gap in your life, just in every way. And then also thinking about, in my case, thinking about my mom and my sister, and what they must be feeling, especially my mom. And then over time, it starts to sort of scab over. So now, I mean, he died in 2006. So it's been quite a while, and you sort of develop a strength. I don't get choked up about it anymore, and I don't avoid talking about him at all. So it does get better. It never gets completely healed, because you can't replace a person, but it does get easier to talk about and think about.
For, I mean, I know you can't answer this for the entire population, but just for your specific insights, what would you have any advice for people who have loved ones who are going through their first Father's Day without a father? Is it good to reach out? How to reach out? Do you back
I
off?
mean,
What
it's
do you
such an
think?
individual experience. I think some people, for some people, the holiday, Mother's Day or Father's Day, doesn't mean that much anyway.
Yeah.
So it's so individual. My dad was not someone that particularly enjoyed being celebrated. So it wasn't, and I think culturally, for whatever, fairly or unfairly, I think Mother's Day, has a lot of cultural capital that Father's Day doesn't have. Like
Yeah.
Mother's Day is a thing. Like I remember growing up, it was like you help dad make breakfast for mom, and then when Father's Day comes around, like nobody's making breakfast for dad. It's like you get him new shoes or a tie or something. But so my dad was not somebody that needed a lot of celebrating in his own mind, so kind of made sense. So in some ways, it wasn't so much like the holiday itself, like there was an obligation to celebrate, but the difficulty was seeing that first couple of Father's Days, seeing people with their fathers, or seeing people reflect on their fathers in a way that it's very hard to describe when you know that you're not going to get. I got my dad up till the age of 20, 22 or 23. I can't remember how old I was. And so I'm not going to have like the experience of having a father in my 30s or 40s or later. And that's a big chunk of life to lose. But, you know, I've also talked to friends of mine who have fathers that disappeared. You know, there was a pregnancy and then the father split. And so they've never known their father. And that's its own, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of similar feelings around the holidays. And so at least I know that I had the experience of a dad and a good dad for a very formative chunk of my life. So that's better than that's more privileged than some get, I suppose.
Is there anything else that you want to say on the subject that I haven't asked you about?
Oh gosh, I don't know. If you, I mean, if you have your dad around, it's or either of your parents, you know, and sometimes I forget this too, like, or your grandparents. My grandpa is 92, and that is a huge privilege. He's still very active and sharp and interesting. You know, value the folks you still have around. Because one thing I learned is my dad went from being the healthiest person I knew to being the least healthy person in about 8 months. I mean, it was insane how quickly things can turn. People don't think about that. If I had to make a list of people that I'd expected in my family to have some sort of major health issue, he would have been at the bottom. So things can change pretty fast. And once you're aware of that, I think it makes everything a little bit more valuable, I suppose.
That makes sense. Well, thanks so much for having this conversation with me.
Yeah, thanks, Abby. Happy Father's Day to you
Thank
with
you.
your
Happy Father's Day to you
father.
too. Call your grandpa. I'm sure you will.
Yep.
All right. Well, have a good weekend,
All
David.
right, you too. Bye.
Bye.